Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell your brothers and sisters, tell your acquaintances. Hell, tell strangers. Even that creepy one at the park who's a little too close to the playground. Hell, even tell your enemies. This is for general audiences. This is for everybody. Good day, people, one and all. It is 9 o'clock even. Now, you are listening to Cocooning from the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces, an important show that's brought to you by Organic OK, who is on this campaign to save life as we know it, as we've been knowing it, and all that, who is basically, truly, honestly, has been, Anywho, please, listen. The good man, Organic OK, brings you this show, and he brings you this show with the impassioned hope that you will get behind the cause, get behind it, and help please save the world, as we are trying to do right now. And we've made a mark, but we still need everybody's help. Life is getting all kinds of better. Please, help it get better, okay? Call in. Drop in your 2 cents, maybe more. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Oh, and you got to dial a 1 first. I don't know. It's a weird rule they got now, but, you know. Anywho, this is DJ Butterfly Feces. You know, it's always kind of irritating that basically every episode I got to set everything back up, like from Jump Street, like from the premiere, whatever, but here it is. I was living in McKinleyville, California. I was aimless and driftless and didn't really see myself having much of... You know, what was I going to do with my life? I don't know. Anywho, I'll tell you this much. I basically was sitting around, drifting, wandering, soulless, aimless, what have you. And then somebody named Organic OK came along. And get this, he was in my town. When I had just been, me and my parents had a huge falling out. I got out of my parents' place. Whatever. I was over the woods we have in McKinleyville, California. There were these disenfranchised, these vagabonds who were sitting there making a campfire, cooking their food, whatever, vagrants. Now, I feel like I knew everyone in town, but I didn't know these guys. What was their story? We sat there, enjoyed the roaring fire, and we had a ton of conversation. We opened up. More ways than one. And honestly, I told them my story, my whatever, and this big, huge, hulking 6'8", 9 something, maybe 7 feet tall and 8 inches wide was telling, and 40 feet thick was telling me, this guy, Organic OK, told me he was a man of wealth and prosperity, and that he was basically only going around homeless to help the homeless, the disenfranchised. The, as I like to call them, vagabonds, trying to help the homeless. He was going around and trying to pick up the trash and ignite a light, a fire, to tell everybody what is going on. Now, understand something. I thought this was ridiculous. I mean, at first, I thought he was an insane homeless person. I was waiting for him to ask me for a dollar. And I was afraid to sit next to them, but once again, I just become homeless myself. I had nothing, so I just kind of dived in, you know. They offered to cut me in, and he said they're going all over the world, all over, and they invited me to join them on their trip. And he said if I was going to do it, I needed a moniker. He gave me the moniker DJ Butterfly Feces. I objected, but he told me how it worked. Now, you notice I go through this every episode, so I'm going to try to make this brief as possible. Long story short, everyone knows about the magic of the butterfly, but the droppings, the manure the butterfly leaves behind, the fertilizer, which people think boo-boo don't do nothing, but it does. Your feces fuels and cause a lot of things to grow and grow and so on and so forth. Everything is connected. Everything is. We're all part of the system. Whatever. Anywho, continuing. They invited me to sleep in their tent. Nothing happened. Till the morning after, they invited me to go on their trip. to go on around there and help clean up the world, help pick up the trash and enlighten and evolve, illuminate the collective human consciousness. Dang. So off we go. I said goodbye to McKinleyville, California. I thought, you know what, I'm just happy to see this place, whatever. And I did. I walked away. We drove away. We spent a considerable amount of time in Miami, Florida. I got to tell you something. We all love snow, but there's something about going south for the winter like a bird. The warm, nearly tropical sun. I was in Miami, but I was homeless, but not entirely. See, once again, I slept in that Winnebago with them, but we all went around there, and I told them about the cause. And let me tell you something. They didn't take me seriously. Something with a guy with a name like Feces. Somehow, they were skeptical, and I wouldn't tell them my real name. He told me, keep yourself anonymous. I said, all I need to know is my cause. And I convinced everybody, come on, everybody, get in there, roll up your sleeves a little bit, and pick up the trash at this beach. At first, they were skeptical, but then I convinced basically found a way to raise a little bit more what happened to make sure a few more, basically, people in Miami were all living together. Things were bad, especially Miami, Florida. There were some problems over there, you know. But I got people to share their resource a little bit more. I think I got a few homeless shelters to expand or whatever, and I got some homeless people to pick up their trash. I got them working together as a team. We stayed in there for a while, and then before I knew it, we were back in the Winnebago, back in the convoy, back on the road, like, you know, a traveling troop, spreading our magic elsewhere, headed towards the vicinity of Seattle, Washington. Dude, you know, your body starts to really adjust to the warmth, the crescent of, you know, how do I put this, Miami. And I didn't just spend my time at Miami Beach. I hit all the beaches. I went everywhere trying to eliminate the homelessness and whatever and what the hell have you. And I did that. But I did it. I saw it. I conquered it. But you know what? Once again, it wasn't so easy. I got a few people to pick up more of the garbage. But I heard, you know, what's in it for me? Why should I help these people? You know, I was a hard worker. In person, I was cast out on this street. Why should I help them clean it up? Not everybody embraced the cause. I talked Organic OK all about it. I told him, he said, yeah, look, brother, let's be respectful, okay? Listen. Not everybody going to embrace. Not everybody's going to want to get. Some people don't want to get better. Some people don't want to prosper. Some don't want to help them be better. Some just want to watch it all go up in smoke. Just want to sit there and say, out of hell with everything, and then everything goes to hell and they go to hell with it. Someone like that. Forget it. Don't just tell people to do it, man. Pick up some garbage yourself. And I did. And once again, we were in Seattle. Seattle, dang, in the dang winter, man. Seattle in January. I mean, you know, come on. Bigger population, freezing cold. But he said, dude, we're just here for a little while. These people have to live here. Once again, I got people to do quite a bit, actually. You know what? I got people to basically pick up a little bit of garbage. Not like I wanted to, but I did. I got them a little bit more unionized. I got them to work together a little more. I got them to fight for more homeless shelters. Got a few more people on food stamps, and I got people to convince the homeless a little while to do more than just basically say, I better work dang harder to make sure I don't wind up homeless too. They're on the streets. It is. And then it was off to Scottsdale, Arizona. And I engulfed the rugged landscapes, the natural beauty of it, whatever. You know, it's almost a place you want to be proud to be a bit homeless there because it's so dang beautiful and rugged and what have you. It was just plain gorgeous. Scottsdale, Arizona. I made a difference. But I ain't done. It wasn't enough. Wasn't nearly enough. We took basically a few people from our journeys, a few people who basically wanted to get involved with the cause, And you know what? We pumped it hard. We were pumping that message, pumping it, promoting it like a carnival. But we were doing something, whatever. And you know something? We were starting to get some word of mouth advertising. A lot of people wrote it off as one of those ideas that was never going to work. Good idea, but who wants to do it? Who's going to fund it? And you know what? We pretty much got that everywhere we went. Then, at one point, we left America. Stopped at the airport. Went to Antigua, the West Indies, where I basically gave myself my own love story. Told us a little bit last night. So here it is. I think I was falling in love with her. That's the thing. I don't know. See, that place was so beautiful. That was the most beautiful place we have visited so far. The most beautiful. And I'm even including McKinleyville, California. Considering every place else I've been on this trip. Oh, man. The most beautiful. No, it wasn't Antigua. It was her. It was special. This heavy-set, midnight black beauty of a woman. Spoke a little bit of English. Kind of spoke English, Creole. Very dark-skinned, a little heavy-set. She was juicy. She was voluptuous. Man, I was kind of in love. It was one of those romances that wasn't meant to last. I got to tell you something. At the end, I was telling her, I think I might have to go because I don't think I can stay here. I mean, I was going around all over Antigua trying to tell everybody more unity, you know, picking up the trash, cleaning. More tents, trying to basically campaign to build those dang homeless shelters up there. And you know what? Homes in a way for them. See, you know what was a good one? Maybe a few more tents, adobes, huts. Like every place else, I was trying to basically think, get some clunker junk cars, get them to the homeless to live in. You know, America didn't want that because they were always afraid if homeless people have cars to live in, they're not going to buy their house, dude. They need something they can tax them for. I believe that then, I believe it now. And I looked in the eyes of this beauty, who I still remember her name, Lily. I looked in those big black eyes of hers. I told her I think I have to go. I don't know if I should stay here, because if I stay here, I'm going to stay here forever. And I shouldn't just be around here campaigning for the cause. I got to spread the message. But more than that, okay was kind of sheltering me and taking care of me. I wasn't homeless. See, we think of homeless, you see. I prefer the term vagabond. But the thing is, we're on the road, and he's funding it. See, technically, we're not vagabonds. We're drifters. There's a guy in money who is financing this campaign. You know? So what she said was, you must go. You should go. If you should go, go. And you know, I was heartbroken. Because I was the one who felt like I had to leave for survival. And you know what? I was heartbroken. She wasn't heartbroken. Honey, I really do have to go, but I don't know. I thought we had something. Are you trying to tell me that you're this cool with me leaving? I'm telling you, we did everything. We walked on the beach. We looked up at the stars. We watched the wave. We took out everything the island had to offer. We made love. Quite vigorously, frequently, ever so rightly. Why was I under the spell more than she was? You know what? I think I wasn't the only guy she was doing this with. Most guys would be so happy to have a woman who basically is going to, you know, will be happy to have her fun with you, have a big romantic whatever, and move on, you know? Was I being played? Was I the guy who was... Relationships like that never last, do they? You start off with that kind of fire, it just burns, you know? It's a flash in the pan. But still, well, anyway, I've gone over the whole previously on cocooning, so let's get back to the rest of the show, shall we? Let's get this thing in gear. Next stop, honestly, I basically raced, I ran back to that boat place, that ship place, got on the boat. I left, and I looked back, because I remember thinking to myself, you remember thinking? Antigua, Lily, like to believe it was all the same thing. 15 minutes after the hour here on the program, Cocooning the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. Hey, don't just listen and talk. Okay? Call in and tell us what you think. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. And this program is brought to you by Organic OK, the true philosopher and visionary who's putting all this together. At the same time, check out the work of basically Maya Harrison. You can get all her work online. Maya Harrison, or Maya, as she's been known, she's still out there, and she needs your love. She's had a career that's been a long time. Tell me something. Did you know the girl? I mean, she made a career. She made a something. When she was the youngest, that's the girl that has always been performing, who has always been in the limelight, always. You know, when I was on the boat, I couldn't stop obsessing. I thought, okay, you know what? Stop it. You obsess, you fret, you worry too much. You sorry little punk. You know what? You know what? No, not chicken butt. Guess what? She's gone. And she was happy to basically push you out the door. Well, out the door if she had a half. So she was a vagrant woman. And whatever she was doing with you, she probably did with a lot of other people. You know what? It's time for you to move on with your life. You have a mission to solve. You have a mission to carry out. And sure enough, I did. I got off the boat and raced over there, and there was a guy okay waiting for me with open arms. He said, yeah, can't believe you almost threw it away for a girl. You love her? I don't know, man. I really feel like I did, but maybe she just saw like a guy on the street and just wanted to hit that. Listen, sometimes some guys don't just want to basically have it once with every single woman, but some guys, you know, she throws astray a little morsel. All of a sudden, he ain't a stray no more. He's her dog now. I didn't like that. It ain't. Is that why you're with me? No, I came with you because, one, I was without options. Dude, B, I've spent most of my life aimlessly, driftlessly. I needed some kind of mission, and this sounded like is it. Besides, I want to do something. Life. I didn't want to be. I want to matter. Didn't you do this not just because you wanted to make things better, but you wanted to matter? I mean, I know you wanted to make the world a better place. You want to fix the crap you're in, but you got the money. I mean, you could be living in prison. Don't you want to matter? In the big picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was still hurting. Where to next? There we were. There we were. He took me in the Winnebago, and before I knew it, there we were on the road again. Where to now? Where to? Drove him by as we were driving to the road. Before I knew it, we headed towards California. It's like, look, I tell you. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you want to be with this girl. Look, I'm not making you do this. Look, I know I've been kind of hard on you. He said to me, I know I've been hard on you, but understand something. I'm not making you do nothing, okay? No, I know I've been hard, but that's because it's a hard job. I care. Look, you want something nice, soft, and safe, and whatever, you know, we're near California. Look around, dude. We're in the vicinity of California again. I could just drop you right back off on your parents' doorstep. You know what? Maybe it's back in your hometown. You could be a homeless guy there. You know people there. Maybe you guys can get off the street. Well, no, man. I can't go back to the man. And this ain't just a question of, you know, I just don't want to, like, I need them to need me. I want them to want me. I don't want to go back. I don't think I really want to do that. I don't think I can do that anymore. I want to do something. Oh, boy. Welcome to the team. And I just smiled. It's like, wait. What? Okay, I got to ask you a question, okay? What are we doing back here in California? You're not going to take me to McKinleyville no matter what, are you? I mean, I came back. It surely doesn't. No, dude. We're not going back to McKinleyville. We're back in California. We're not going back to McKinleyville. Good. Where to? Kept driving and driving. I was nervous. Wouldn't you be? And before I knew it, there we were. We were nervous. Wait a minute. San Diego. Curious to see San Diego. And not just because they got the biggest zoo in the world. Good people. Why? I mean, this was like one of the bigger cities in all of basically California and the U.S. It was good, kind of refreshing to be back in America, but at the same time disappointing. Because, really, it's why it's so refreshing to leave. It's why more and more people are leaving. But you know something? I got to tell you something, really, just... It's going to be back in America, but it just reminded me how the homeless problem always just seemed to be kind of the worst here, you know? As we stopped off and got off the... Once again, after the beautiful, cool, after the ideal warm cookie sheet weather, that hot heat of the West Indies, now we're in San Diego once again during the winter. This is the part of California where it snows, and it's January. This time, thankfully, we still had, I mean, he basically gave me some warm clothes. Bless him, but still. He looked at me. No complaining, no whining. Still want to do this? Yeah, I got a mission. All right, good. Come on. You're the messenger. Actually, I am. I'm the prophet. You're the messenger. Help carry the message. You're my disciple. All right. Now, one thing I'll tell you about San Diego is San Diego does have one of the biggest populations in the country. You know what that means, don't you? No? It means basically they're one of the biggest populations in America, which means by definition they're going to have one of the biggest homeless populations in America. So once again, it's a place to save. And once again, the worst part, it's happening here during the winter. There were rows and rows and rows and rows of people, like, under bridges in tents and beat-up cars and whatever, and some who didn't even have the tents of the cars. I kept saying I was trying to give everybody a tent and a car. Okay, I said, stop. Okay, looked at me. Stop. Stop, man. Stop with that. Stop with that whole, you know, I'm giving everybody a tent and a car like you went for office, okay? Forget tents and car. Forget the shelters for a minute, okay? That can wait. It's a good idea, but it can wait. You know what? You know what? Let's try and focus on cleaning up San Diego. Now, once again, people, I want to find a different way to tell you this story, but once again, you can imagine how it went. It was freezing. Nobody wanted to basically get up and hustle whatever in, you know, this weather in January. And when I told them our mantra, they said, it's a nice thought. What are they going to give back? I asked to hear some of the stories. Yeah, I've been on the street for over 5 years now. One day, I just lost everything out from underneath me. You know what it did? A parking ticket. No, it's true. One time, I got a parking ticket. I had to pay it. I had no rainy day money, no income left, whatever. It all, it just disappeared out from underneath me. Someone told me, I still got a job. I got a job. I got a job, but I don't have a place to, I mean, I still got to live here, you know? Yeah. Some told me, I love this city, whatever. I can't realize what happened to all of us. We all talk about the problem for hours, basically, and you know what's wrong. You know what's caused all this to happen. Do I need to get into it? Politics aside, man, what we need to do is do something. I went to everybody, and I said, okay, people, good people. Now listen. We can make this better. Now, first, we're going to clean up this place. We're going to pick up some of this garbage. We're in this trash. He said, no, listen. We need the garbage here. See, if the place was nice and clean and people come through here, whatever, when there's trash all over everything, they're going to leave us alone. I'd heard that one before. I said, now listen, we have a better place to live here. Look, I started to pick up the trash and throw it away. Not just that, I helped them burn it for heat. Some of them build an outdoor fireplace, use it to cook their food. Now, I came across one woman, a bunch of sisters, well, elder women who almost sing your sins are out there on the street. Well, yeah, this is our sister. She's blind and deaf. She's always been like that. No, it all happened when she got out here. No medicine, no medical care, nothing. You know, if there was a doctor right now, ain't nothing can do nobody for her. We're just going to be together as long as possible when all this comes down. What had happened? I don't know. I mean, when you see people who are really thrown out in the street to just, you keep asking, something really went wrong, way wrong. None of these people should be out here, and no one, San Diego, once again, a wonderful city, but nobody basically should be out there when they're homeless and they have nothing, when they got no dang nothing. You know what I mean? No one should be homeless in San Diego in winter. So finally, I told everybody, we'll get together, we'll do something, we'll make this a little bit better, and they'll listen to us. They will. So you know what? I convinced everyone by one to help pick up the trash and throw it away. I convinced everybody by one by one. I had a hell of a time. We started to pick up the trash. Not everybody joined in. I was bowling along. But you know what? We started to pick up all the garbage, throw it away. I know one guy who basically didn't have a tent or nothing, and he used that garbage to build himself a little fort. Okay, maybe he can keep his garbage. But dang, you know, I really should find him someplace to live. Whatever. I don't know. One by one, I basically had us go to all, a lot of the pun, not just those freeway under and overpasses. But I convinced people to basically, literally, go one by one. One by one to every place. We basically, I formed almost a conga line, not unlike the line that Organic OK had with his Winnebago and all the guys who had their cars and whatever. And you know, we went to parks, not just San Diego, just the San Diego park. Went to every those parks in San Diego. One by one, we picked up trash and threw it away. You know what? As far as I was concerned, that entitled them a right to sleep there a little bit. You know, a few vagrants could make themselves at home. Or so I thought, basically. In a lot of those parks, they chased them off. I was going to say us, but they didn't chase me. I wasn't sleeping there. I was sleeping there once again. Organic OK let me basically sleep at that top little makeshift bunk bed above the driver and passenger's front seat in the Winnebago. But I got to tell you, after we picked up all that garbage, I told them, one of them said, see, they don't appreciate nothing we do. That's why we don't do nothing. But no, listen, I know it's going to take time, but we will. Well, everyone, unite. And what happened? I basically got, once again, I got a whole long line of those vagabonds, those disenfranchised homeless people of San Diego, and we went over to some homeless shelters. We convinced them. To basically open their place up just a little bit more. To basically give a few more people a place to sleep and spend the night. Helped a few more people try to apply for food stamps. And I made a point. No, I'm not just trying to help these people. Let me tell you something. We went all over San Diego and picked up the garbage. Threw it away. One woman said, "That's nice of you. Thank you for that. That's very noble." One guy said, "You know, San Diego has professionals who are supposed to do that. Trying to put them out of business? You want them to be homeless too?" Dang. I mean, I was a little shocked. I mean, I just started laughing when he said that. I mean, really, I also want to punch him in the face too, but dang. That was a pretty good shot. It was a good line. I got to admit that. But anyway, I told them, San Diego is such a big city. There's too many people homeless. Things are bad. These people need it. Something needs to happen. Things need to change. Like immediately, like yesterday. Maybe 20, 30 years ago. Yeah. But no one wants to make the money to keep these people sheltered and whatever. These people are adrift. Everyone's trying to stay off the street themselves, he told me. It's a big city. The bigger the city, the less people care, the less people are friendly and careful of each other. That's how small towns and big city congestion work. 30 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour, you are listening to DJ Butterfly Feces here on Cocooning from the Microphone. And don't just listen. talk. What's going on with you? Please log in. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Get involved. This program is brought to you by Organic OK, a man who believes, a man who is basically still going and doing something, trying to make this campaign happen, and at the same time, asking, what a lot of you doing the same? Please, campaign to basically get something done about the homeless epidemic, not just shelter them, making sure that there's less homeless in general, if any. Now, also, thank you for listening to this program, but please tune into Maya Harrison. You can pick out her, you can basically see a lot of stuff what she's all about on her website, www.maya.com. No, www.mayamaya.com. M-Y-A. www.mayamaya.com. Two Mayas. M-Y-A. Maya Harrison. This was not a cakewalk. This was not any kind of... I was still wondering. I went to some of the people who were helping out with the homeless epidemic, and I said, what are your plans for the future? And the woman, she said, what do you suggest? Dang, she was actually listening to me. What to do, what to do, what to do, what to do? I thought, well, do something about the homeless problem. What do you suggest? Where did I begin? Well, you could try. Well, all right. I told her my plan about basically saying go to the whatever pond or no, whatever bay or whatever, building more houseboats, making sure more they had boats to live on. I made a point about basically trying to make sure. I'm staying with a guy who's basically got a trailer. You give more of them trailers. How are they going to have the money to maintain that trailer? Got to keep that trailer in a park or something, you know? I guess I understood that. They need help. They need to get off. They need the opportunity. They stumble. They fall. They need the opportunity to get back up again. Now, look, I'm the kind of guy who basically, used to always object to whenever basically somebody would point out, look, the whole point of a crutch, really, personally, is to help you walk. And she said, but listen, all this is just supposed to be a crutch, okay? It's a crutch. When you break your leg, you need a crutch. But at some point, you want that leg muscle and bone to heal and develop so that you can walk again. You don't need a crutch the rest of your life. You don't want to basically need safety ramps and rails for the rest of your existence. You just need a helping hand. But when somebody is still helping you this much, I was upset. I was offended. But she was right. Still, I want to help these people. I want to help these dang people. I made a point that basically, okay, seriously, I'm not making this up. I said I was going to go around there and try to find a way to expand basically those homeless shelters in San Diego. Not just with raising funds, okay, something. You know what? Maybe basically, I suddenly it hit me. I had the idea. No, hear me. Hear this out. This is going to sound funny. A whole bunch of homeless shelters. No, a whole bunch of Winnebagos and whatnot outside the homeless shelter. Because when the homeless shelter gets full, when they can't literally, when they reach an overlap, an overflow, now they have more spacing. Some people can stay outside in some Winnebagos that are out there in the parking lot at... I kid you, not outside those homeless shelters, all over San Diego. And I had to admit, there were programs to help them, because with such a population, there had to be. But somehow I needed more. Somehow I wanted more. Somehow I kept trying to convince them to try to basically have another way. Maybe pitch a few more tents outside, like right outside the homeless shelter, because they could help them even if they have... And they said, we're working on all this. We're thinking about all this. We're trying to expand. You need to understand something. It takes money to keep helping these people, okay? Now, it's one thing basically to be living off, throwing junk away and get to the homeless who've also been thrown away, but it's not the same thing as helping whatever. In a way, sometimes I feel like our government was too broke and whatever. No, you know what? You know what? There's got to be a way to basically. I want to go. I kind of. And there's some program we can invent to give everybody a job. Like anybody could just basically have some job, just anything. They'll keep them off the street and whatever, and they'll have a place to live. Place to live. And, well, that ain't America. That ain't democracy. Look, man, we went to an American democracy. I don't know if that's working no more. Dang. I know. I was getting unpatriotic. But you know something? When you're still living in America and you see this many homeless people just thrown about and you garbage and whatever, and you hear all about America, the land of prosperity, of milk and honey, the streets are paved with gold, I got to tell you something. But you tend to get unpatriotic. I didn't know what. I went back to OK. I told him, I convinced a lot of them to pick up the garbage and throw away. We did whatever. Not all of them wanted to do it. He said, but I also told them. I went to some of those shelters and talked to them. They could expand on this. You see, they don't even basically need to, you know, knock out a lot of walls or whatever and build them bigger. Hopefully they'll do that anyway. But I'm thinking, like, maybe, once again, they could get those beat-up cars. Man, you keep saying that. You keep saying that over and over again. No, I'm saying that they, look, the homeless shelter could do it. They could have them in the parking lot, put cars, you know, Winnebagoes, whatever, and the homeless could, you know, sleep with them when there gets to be an overlap. Yeah, did you tell them that? I went around there look, I don't keep saying this stuff, but, you know, every city we go into, I'm kind of saying the same thing. Ain't that the dang point? Yeah. Don't tell me. I know you're working hard. I know you're doing it. You're doing all right. You're doing a good job. I'm proud of you. But guess what? You got to keep doing it. Look, just go out there and do a good job. You don't have to tell me everything you're doing. Just go do it. Because remember, whether you're doing a good job or a bad job, you got to live with yourself. Once again, I know we made a change. We made a change everywhere we went, but somehow I felt like, you know what, this ain't that big an impact. I know we're still early in the program, but I don't feel mountains moving. I don't feel the sun rising and setting. I don't really feel like we changed this much of the world. What to do? Tell you one thing, I was cold. I went back there and spent the night. And look, I tend to sleep a lot. And it's not just because, you know, when you get old, you know, the energy you used to. When you're old, you want to enjoy peace and quiet and spend a lot of your free time sleeping. That's part of it. But, dude, when you're on the street and you're not sleeping on some miracle memory foam mattress made out of some kind of space-age polymer that the astronauts use, you know, those new mattresses that they got, whatever, but you got to sleep pretty much anywhere. Most homeless people have to pass out to get some rest. They got to drink and whatever. But, dude, I wasn't in that boat. But still, I was in a Winnebago with that makeshift bunk that's not really a bed. I mean, don't get me wrong. He had some sleeping bag up there and some blankets, but it ain't the same thing as a bed. Even beds don't seem like beds no more. They've really come a long way. Anywho, what can I say? There was still a lot to do. Thing was, I wanted to personally make a much bigger impact in this city. And I convinced a lot of us, I kept telling everybody to go around there and pick the garbage. You know what? Once again, I tried going to everybody, telling everybody to tell everyone, everybody else's, everybody their story, so everybody heard it. And I knew if we all knew each other and all worked together, we could all unite and work towards something. We picked up a lot of trash in the trash. We made this place to live a lot cleaner. And you know what? There was a personal pride. You know, when you work hard, when you're hard working, you're exhausted at the end of the day, you smell, you sweat, but you know what? There's a personal pride in knowing you did it. You did it by hand. We weren't cold, we weren't tired no more. We were even more hungry. Despite the fact that they were all doing, not so much the Lord's will, but really the vision of organic okay, I don't know how much money he really had, but it wouldn't exactly be right for me to basically say, okay, look, now these guys did everything. Why don't you treat him to dinner? Because there was a lot of people, personally, whatever. I went to organic okay and said, would you mind if I invite a few more people on our expedition? Yeah. Not too many, okay? I invited a few people. Don't even remember their names. But I tell you one thing. It was something. It was something else. Now, before we went, I said, look, let's make sure we made a much bigger impact. Look, I want you guys to go to everybody, every single homeless person you understand, and tell them about the cause. Raise some hell. Make sure there are more homeless shelters, more people having more plans to get these vagrants off the street. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Is it possible? So that's what we did. Went all over, and you know what? I heard my plan actually worked out a little bit. A few more homeless people actually shared the cars they had to live in with some others. A few more people shared their tents. And a few more people were talking and cleaning up and spreading the word of okay. Man, I did it. We did. I mean, I know okay was out there pushing the message, but so was I. I was promoting. I was turning this thing out. What can I say? I think I was finally starting to make an impact. You know, I was still thinking of, you know, it was so cold, I was still thinking about Lily. You know what, something funny? I was also looking around, basically trying to start another romance. Saw a lot of homeless people out there. They were couples. You know, they were thrown out together. They were homeless together, and they basically sort of almost stayed together. They were in paradise. They were in living hell, I guess. But you know something? They didn't deter. Some actually hooked up on the street. I really was jealous. And me and Lily met out here. Would it have worked? Would that spark still have been there? See, the thing about love, dude. Okay, like I got to tell you something about love. See, sometimes love, it's easy to mistake it for something else. But even then, look, I believe in love. It's something. It's necessary. It's vital. I mean, what is love, really? Well, it's a chemical in the brain called oxytocin. It's a real high, and we need it. It's what makes us go and endure and survive. But I'll tell you one thing. As powerful as it is, as necessary as it is, it doesn't conquer all. There's a million reasons it doesn't work. Sometimes too much of the failure and the pain force you to deter away from someone you could really have a relationship with because it's just too hard. And sometimes there's just too many obstacles. Sometimes it's just that things are going too well. You hear about all those Hollywood romances because there was always a point in showbiz where you had to choose between this relationship or the rest of your career, and you broke up because you wanted to focus on your career, keep your career going, because in Hollywood, if there's a chance, you can still keep the train going. You keep the train going. Because in order for love to work, you got to be willing to sacrifice anything, just to keep seeing this person. And you know what? There was a lot of love out there on that street. There's a lot of love. Strangely enough, I saw this more than I did everywhere else. Maybe more than the West Indies. It's 45 minutes after the hour. We're here on Cocooning from the Microphone. You're listening to DJ Butterfly Lafisi's here. Tell you his tale of when he was working the streets as a street savior. Was going around there helping the cause. Helping not just the less fortunate, the completely unfortunate, who was basically out there saving the world. And this campaign was brought to you by the one, the only, can there possibly be another, Organic OK, was financing this program, was pushing this. Hey, people, check out the album Sugar and Spice by Maya Harrison. That's the album Sugar and Spice. That's the one that basically most recently kind of turned my fancy quite a bit. You know something? What can I say? Wait, why was I looking at the negative side of this? Okay, so I didn't find love right now. You know, maybe I didn't even find it in the West Indies. Maybe it was just basically one of those storybook romances. I got to tell you something. I made a real impact for all these people. I mean, it was sort of sweet how they were basically burning out together, not alone. I mean, they were sent on the street to waste away to nothing. But you know something? I personally was making it so they wouldn't have to waste away at all. They were going to be saved. And they knew who I was. Once again, at first they heard the whole DJ Butterfly fee thing when I told them all this. Once again, the skepticism. But it always takes a while for a new idea to catch on. They asked me to sit with them. We warmed up by the fire, all of us. And I basically listened to some of their stories. I was going to basically, you know what, I was thinking I better get back to the Winnebago. See, I was always afraid that basically the one night I'm not going to return to that organic, okay, he's not going to see me there. He's going to take off. He's going to leave me here. And I wasn't quite homeless yet. I was with them. I was with the whole troop. But, you know. So what happened? What else? They asked me to stay a little while longer. I said, sure, I will, but just wait a minute. I went back to go get Organic OK, and I asked him to basically sit around with the rest of the gang and open up. When you're a kid, you tell ghost stories over a campfire. As you get a little older, over a campfire, you tell stories about yourself. You talk about you. You open up. Yeah, as an adult, you look forward just to sit back and talk and bare your soul. You walk away enlightened. It's funny, when you're a kid, you hated this stuff. Sitting around talking and lecturing and whatever. When you're an old person, you live for it. What's the age where you start living for conversation? We all opened up and we all told our story. We all bared our soul. The cold nights seem less cold. And not because basically this time, OK actually gave me that jacket, that floppy, the hat and gloves. But we were talking. Anywho, just as I was ready to tuck her down for the night, just because I felt like I could listen all night, you know what? I ain't going to bed. I ain't going to nothing. I just want to sit around here and basically relax. One came over here, just as everything was just fine. It was too fine. This was inevitably bound to happen. Someone came running up. One of the sisters came up and said, "You got to come quick. You got to come quick. Something's happened." "What?" "Just come quick. Just come quick. Everybody. What's going on? Just come quick." We all did. At least most of us did. And sure enough, her sister was lying there, dead. She wasn't breathing. I tried to quickly take her pulse and her temperature. Yeah, I mean, the little, basically, first aid emergency stuff. That's one thing I learned to do back in the good old town of McKinleyville, California. I also had to perform the Heimlich, but somehow I didn't think that was going to help. At one point, she said, "There was no CPR." someone actually tried to perform. He said, years ago, he said, years ago I performed CPR. The thing is, it's expired. It's expired. Now, I know I'm too old. Now, it's expired. Now, listen, you got to learn to take a refresher course every couple of years. But it happened a long time ago, but I still know it. Quick, do it! And there he did. He performed CPR on her. Breathe into her mouth. Push down her heart. Listen. Did it again. I studied it carefully just in case I needed to use it. Now even Organic OK told me he needed to be, like, you know, certified to perform CPR. But when you're on the streets and you're dying, you know, you don't think, well, you know, honestly, is this doctor licensed? Does he have a veil? Whatever. Well, emergency medicine is emergency by any means necessary. He pushed on her heart again. 1, 2, 3. Breathe into her lungs. Oh, my God. Was she going to die? I got to tell you something. Now, I had lived in that town. I heard about people who die, but I was never around a dead body before. She's not dying, is she? Is she? Please tell me this isn't happening. I can't be around a dead body. 1, 2, 3. Nothing. Come on, come on, come on. Even I know that if the body doesn't resuscitate, it's not going to. And the thing is, when someone is deprived of oxygen for a certain amount of time, there's permanent brain damage. We need oxygen. Oxygen is needed. Oxygen, water. I wanted to basically put him out of the way and said, let me try. What did I know about the Heimlich? Folks, now brace yourself what I'm about to tell you, okay? Because this is when a lot of the coming through stops here, all the good nature stops here. She did not wake up. Wasn't quite sure what it was. I think it might have been a dehydration, hypothermia, maybe emphysema. She seemed sickly, but that woman was not revived. She did not come back to us. And once again, I sort of knew her. I told you about her. She was kind of ill, and she looked like she was kind of almost on the way out. But I got to tell you, I don't know. Still, someone had died. Maybe she was already dead even before he tried the whole CPR routine. But I got to tell you, I was taken aback. I walked back to the fire. We all did. We all say, I didn't say a word. Her relatives were over there, crying, not leaving her side, staying with her, holding her hand, not staying vigilantly with her. The rest of us looked at each other, not knowing what to say. Until finally, one of the guys said, look, it happens out here a lot. People don't just die every day. People freeze to death, sick out, starving out here. It happens. I've seen it happen plenty of times before. And I just thought about that. And I just realized, I don't know. What were we going to do? What was going to happen next? We lost one. What happens now? Organic OK, basically. Now, he was never one much for physical contact, but he put his arm around me and patted me on the shoulder, and he said, dude, can't save them all, okay? I like to think that she believed in the cause, too. She believed in the cause, too. Yeah, she believed in the cause. I nodded. And you know what? I gotta tell you, I mean this. That woman, she became my reason for us doing this. I was determined. Now, as tempted as I was first, I wanted to get, you know what, we were in California, in some part where it snows, not unlike McKinleyville. I was going to ask him to basically take me home because I couldn't do this anymore. No, just seeing this made me realize that I had a cause, a position. I had a mission in life. And this was it. For her. For her. Dang it, for her. I can't remember her name now. I'm not sure I ever got it. I know she was the sister who seemed the sickest. We happened to come there just at a time when she was dying. But it wasn't a weird coincidence. People die all the time. People die every day. People die every couple of moments. But for some reason, those numbers, every minute or so, someone dies. But you know what? The numbers got a lot higher in this country when the homeless epidemic sprouted up like this. How much worse is it going to get? I said I wasn't going to run away from this. I'm not going to run away from San Diego. The city's going to have to kill me too. Because you know something? Dang it. Things to do. Things to do. But what? Okay. I wanted to make a big public statement about her. She's a martyr. We need to do something. I don't know what. All I could think about, I didn't sleep out there with the rest of them, though I wanted to keep them company. I literally went to bed in the Winnipeg that night because I was worried I'd freeze to death, but somehow I just didn't get any sleep. Somehow I couldn't stop thinking about her. Her. Look, I know I didn't know that much about her. I really didn't. But keep something in mind. There's always a her everywhere. There is. I wasn't going to walk away from San Diego just yet. In fact, now I was on a new mission. Good people, you've been listening to Cocoon in the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. He's here. Please tune in tomorrow for our next exciting conclusion of Cocoon in the Microphone. See what happened next. Brought to you by Organic OK. Okay. The one who really championed the cause. Okay. Check out Maya Harrison. You know, she's actually in Chicago, not just on the soundtrack. She has a cameo as one of the murderesses on Murderous Row. The women who won't kill their men. Check her out. She stands out even in a movie like that, as always. Okay. Thank you for listening. And please get behind the cause. And good night. Believe.